Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 30 of the Poker Balls podcast. My name is Lee, also known as Osiris, and I'm joined as ever by our wonderful co-host, Scott S9 Vibe. How you doing, mate?
Good. 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 Tired still. New job's got me tired. You're not funny. I know. You haven't. You just
gone.
Gone.
No, you're there now. Well, I wasn't even trolling. You like your mic went weird for a minute. I couldn't hear anything you were saying.
Strange. So good. I'm good.
You're good, yeah.
Yeah, I'm good. It's a bit tired, but I'm good.
That felt like you were going on a lot more than just good. But if you're good, that's good. It's exciting to be here. It's a big episode, episode 30. That we're here.
30 episodes, man. We made it this
over
far.
Half a year.
Half. Oh wow, that is crazy, isn't it?
That's good, isn't it?
Absolute madness.
Been a journey so far, and I can't wait to see where we go next. Of course, we'll have Good Dance coming up next month, which is going to be fun. So we'll be able to do another live in person one. Yeah, but other than good, everything with you, all right, mate? Been making any more Pokemon purchases this past week or anything?
We've got an announcement, actually. We can talk about that in a second. I have, actually, because we've decided to do a fun little Christmas thing, which is all about
it
in a second.
It's going
to
be very fun, yes.
But, you know, we've been, you know, we like to collect stuff, don't we, obviously? I mean, you do in particular. You have a lot more stuff than I do. We spoke about in the pod loads that, you know, you collect. You got me into collecting, so I've been like just on eBay like every day just looking at stuff. What can I buy?
Sounds like I've passed my problems on to you.
what will hold its value? And then it's just like I've gone into this deep dive of like these old sets that are now like really expensive and like why are they expensive, and like Cosmic Eclipse and like Team Up Evolving Skies is obviously not as expensive as those, but is getting to that stage considering how new the set it is. It's already sort of getting there already.
Yeah, and it'll only go further, I'd imagine. You're sitting good, though, with that booster box that you've got there.
Oh, yes.
Yours.
The booster is very good. Yeah, I'm hoping that it will hold somebody. And I've got two ETBs as well, so... Because the packs are like a tenner, like £9, £10 each already.
Yeah, crazy.
Which is crazy. And then like I was looking at Team Up stuff. So don't get me started on a whole booster box, but like a pack is like £45 to £50.
Yeah.
It's actual madness. So I have been looking and I want to buy more stuff. I got on last week's episode we had the debacle of The dodgy PSA 10 that I had. I got a replacement, and it is fine, so that is good. I like stared at it for like 15 minutes trying to find out that it's a lot better, so like there's no bends on it.
That's brilliant.
Which is good, but it has made me wary about wanting to buy, because normally like if you want to pick up singles, like if it's a relatively low value card that I think might have value in the future, I'd rather pick it up already graded. Because unless you're in person, like was at Comic-Con, it's a lot harder to discern the grade or like the condition. Like, I don't really trust people on eBay, and so at least if it's graded, you know, you've got that proof that it's already in that condition. Like with that card, for example, I could have picked that card up as a single for like probably 20, 15, 20 quid. But you know, it might not be in a 10 condition, which that already is.
And also the you make such a good point, because I think you can pick, you know, you can be as well versed, as experienced as possible on like picking things up cheaper on eBay, the singles, with a frame of mind to get those graded. But there could be one, like, you can't see with the naked eye, there could be a ding in it that you can't see, and it would end up getting a 9. So you might be better off just outlaying for the 10. And I'd always say, you know, with cards that are coming out early, it's probably better to pick them up as a 10 as early as possible, because the inevitability is if they're a popular card, the 10's just going to get more and more valuable. There are cases where the cards do come down in price and then go back up after time. like the Lugia, you know, the V, Lugia
yeah,
V
yeah,
alt
that
card
dropped
from
a lot.
That's
Silver
dropped
Tempest,
loads.
Silver Tempest? I can't
Yeah,
remember.
Silver Tempest, yeah. Yeah,
Yeah,
but
that
even
was
in a 10,
insane.
that's dropped loads now. So you can get that way cheaper than you could have done like maybe 5 months ago. So it's like ebbs and flows. It's just keeping an eye on the market, I think, for most of the time.
Well, like you said before, right, it's really hard to predict whether they're going to... Because the chase cards, what normally happens is pre-release stuff comes out, there are chase cards. People, that obviously determine the price of said cards, right? And they'll shoot up in value. Normally it's in like a couple hundred or 100 quid, somewhere in between normally. And then once the set actually comes out, they tend to drop quite a lot. That happened a lot with the Miriam that I bought. The Miriam
yeah.
that I packed at the EOIC, you know, that wasn't... Mm. And the Corridon, those cards during pre-release were worth so much money. They're not worth like anything anymore. And so...
They'll go back up, but...
Yeah, but like, you know, you look at things like the Moonbrium, right? We've spoken about that card, and probably the biggest...
I feel like that's
reason...
an exception, though.
You're right.
That is the exception, because that was... There was a point, and I kick myself all the time about this. There was a point after Evolving Skies dropped where that card was £100 to pick up Raw. And I was like, nah, it's going to keep going down like everything does. Might be able to get it for 60, 70. And it kind of plateaued at that point and then just went to the moon, literally. And I really regret it. So sometimes it doesn't work out like
that's
that.
What
but
I was,
most
that's what
of
I was
the time.
Say. It doesn't always
sorry.
Work out.
Yeah. But most of the time it does. Like you say, it normally you get that pre-release craze of people just wanting them for the sake of having them first. And then the set releases, they plummet, they stabilize,
like,
they creep back up, and then they drop again normally.
Look at the Latias and Latios GX card from Team Up. Right.
It's like a £10 card when that set first came
that
out.
That card raw now is worth like £500.
Ridiculous. I'll never own that card. I will never own it.
Like, I was looking at the eBay. There doesn't seem to be many that exist. Like, you go on eBay, the only ones that exist are graded, and I'm not paying £1,000 for that card.
No.
And if I'm paying that much money anyway, I'm not paying £500 for an ungraded card. Unless you prove to me, unless you're going to come to me and show me the condition of the card in person, I'm not going to spend that much money on an ungraded card. But I'm not also willing to spend £1,000 at the moment because I don't have that kind of money to spend on a graded card either. So it's fun to find that balance of, like you said, looking at the chase cards, what are popular, waiting for them to drop back down after the set comes out, picking them up. But then again, you never know because the Moonbrion and that card are classic examples of it just like not abiding to the rule. But most of the time, you can normally pick up the ones that you want a lot cheaper, like a month after the set comes out.
Yeah, like the Rayquaza VMAX alt art. I think that's still a very expensive card, but it's not really followed the trend of the Moonbrion. It's a lot more affordable in comparison. Still a very expensive card, but at the time it felt like those two cards from that set, from the English set, we're going to kind of keep pace with each other, but they're kind of, the Moonbrians just pulled away and, like I say, went to the moon, where it belongs. To the moon! But yeah, it's hard. I gotta be honest. Pokemon fans, I'm probably going to like this. I've taken a huge deep dive into Yu-Gi-Oh! This past week and a half. Like I'm having a lot of fun with it, but we'll not talk about it on this pod. But yeah, I think there's a lot of value in the Yu-Gi-Oh card scene.
I agree.
Right now, and if you're a fan of the anime like I was when I was a kid, there's just a lot of nostalgia there. I think the 25th anniversary sets out at the minute, so that kind of, like, you know, all those original sets that released or re-released. Which is cool. So that's what I've been doing. I have been keeping an eye on Pokemon stuff, but it's all vintage stuff that I'm looking at the minute. I'm not really interested in. I keep going back to 151, and I'm like, why am I not? Why do I not like this set?
Because it's not good.
I've got no interest in it. There's some nice cards in it for sure, but I've got no interest in it.
It doesn't feel like it is as good as its potential. I feel like it was sold because they called it 151. And I don't think it's it's a true, like, because we had Evolutions, right? That was like a reprint of base set,
pretty much a reprint with another, some additions,
another expensive set. Again, I had a booster box of that for £90. I ripped it that shit open.
These are those up there.
And yeah, they're now worth, I don't want to think about how much the booster box is worth.
They're not as much as they were during the pandemic time when they were like £1,000. Because
again, that set doesn't, it's not really exciting. Like, if I want base set stuff, you go get the OG shit. Like, you don't want something that has 2018 or 19 on whatever the year was. I might know before that, like 17. But yeah, so.
And they printed that into the ground, like Evolutions, you know. So, but yeah, I know what you mean. I just, I like, it's not like I don't like the Illustrator rare cards, but it's just like they don't really do anything for me. It's like, okay, you've got the Charmander, Charmeleon, Charizard ones, and it's like, I don't know. There's just, and I think this is something, this is like why I'm why I mentioned the Yu-Gi-Oh! Is something that I kind of want to link into Pokemon anyway. I was thinking about this the other day, and it's maybe why I've taken such a deep dive into Yu-Gi-Oh! Is because I like the art style on all the Pokemon cards, and this is just me, right? I do like the full arts and the alt arts and stuff like that. But I guess the thing with the Yu-Gi-Oh cards is they've kind of not really deviated away from that kind of standard format where you've got like, you've got the box with the art in it, and that's kind of what the card looks like, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas Pokemon have kind of broken the box and went to a full card kind of art. And like I'd say, I don't mind that at all. But when it becomes the norm, it kind of makes those older cards feel like, and I think that's probably what's happening at the minute with the vintage cards, is you're just taking all the value, pretty much taking all the value away from them, because in comparison, they don't look as good as these kind of newer cards, do they? You know? Oh, I don't even know if that makes sense, but
it's a different art style, right? And I think that's what you're trying to get at. You know, it's like looking at an old car, right? You know, theoretically, a new Ferrari looks a lot more sleek and modern than an old one, but that the old one has that retro style. You know, it's just a different vibe, and I get that with the old. Personally, I feel like a bit like, you know, Pokemon loves Gen 1, right? In a similar vein as how I feel like they've milked the shit out of it in terms of the games. You know, we've had so many iterations of Kanto, like, it's boring to me. Like, I don't want to go play another Kanto remake. And in the same vein, like, the base set to me doesn't really excite me. The sets that excite me are things like the Neo sets I find really cool. The Crystal Skies ones, cards are, like, gorgeous as well. Also really expensive. The Shining Star ones are really expensive as well. The Delta Species ones, stuff like that. So cards like that I find really nice. And there's nothing, not trying to take away from the fact that, you know, there is, obviously you never get away from the nostalgia of the base set, but like base set has got to the point where it's so like unobtainable. It's just like because of the stuff that happened during COVID, it's like, why bother getting excited about cards that I could probably realistically could never own or could own, but I'd rather spend the money on like another set. So, you know,
where you could guarantee getting it in those, if you were planning to grade it, you could get it in higher grades, whereas you pick up like base set raw, you're not really getting, for the money that you could probably realistically spend, you're not going to get anything over like PSA 7, really, are you?
Well, no, you know? Again, unless you
and then
find
that's
someone
kind
who,
of a stretch,
you got to find someone who had their fucking cards in a binder since they were a kid, basically, and never took them out. You know, you hear stories of it, but for like most people at this point have cottoned on to the fact that Pokemon cards are worth a lot of money, so if they had an inkling that they had some, they probably probably sold them already, or they're keeping on to them to sell it again in the future. So, you know, there was that were you going to segue into the Mew card?
I was,
what I was going to segue into.
Like-minded
So there was a
set I'm very excited about, actually.
Is like, it called Shiny Treasures?
Shiny Treasures,
So there was a leaked Mew card, which I actually do quite like this artwork.
Oh my gosh.
It's really cute.
Such a nice card. I'm very excited by it because I think if we're gonna get like at least it's different, isn't it? It's so different from what we've got in the current set, you know, in 151. You know, if they've done stuff for like this for 151, I think, wow, this is, you know, it's just, yeah, it just hits a bit differently. It feels so the set is coming out in Japan next month in December, and I think it's due to come out in the Western world in the, like, late January, early February time. I don't think it's been confirmed the date of this yet. And the
this card is that, yeah, I actually like this card. I like it a lot. The original Terrasilized Charizard that come out, the color, the red on this looks really nice.
Yeah,
and so I actually really like this card.
I'm very excited about this set, and I'm kind of tempted to maybe just pick it up in Japanese rather than
I'm with you.
In English, to be honest. I think that's probably what I'll end up doing for this one. I just think it looks so nice. And the Mew, and you know, it's weird that the Mew's being kind of leaked and it's the English version of the card. You go to that Reddit post and it's like 2 months out. It's not like a week or something out. It's very strange that that's kind of leaked so early. But it gets the hype going, doesn't it? It's very exciting. So that's something to look out for. And I think probably will be a better set than the 151. In my opinion anyway, but that's just how I feel. It's just weird. I just feel so underwhelmed with 151. And I think it is a little bit of that Gen 1's, like, they're trying to do it again, but
I think it was a cash grab for the new fans who don't really understand. I think there was like, let's make a set that's not really anything to do with base set. This includes some Gen 1 Pokemon because that's, you know, that's what we love to do, and let's get the people that kind of, you know, kind of just got into collecting, don't really know much about it, think, oh, this set's going to be so cool, and get them to buy it, which is what's happened.
Yeah, it's like that, you know, appealing to those older players to get them into the hobby, yeah. That's basically all it is, really, isn't it?
So,
I do like the Mew alt art that you get in the premium collection box. That's a nice card. That is really nice. Because it's the alt art Mewtwo, and then you get the gold metallic EX Mew card as well, which is, I mean, I don't know what everyone's opinion on gold metallic cards are, but I'm not a huge fan of the metallic
cards, like, but
that's that though. But yeah, so that's quite exciting to look forward to. I think I think pre-orders are up for Japanese sets right now, so probably good to get your pre-order in reliable retailers that you know of, supply Japanese stock, because I think once these sets kind of come out, I think they'll be hard to pick up, and then the price for the boosters will probably go way up.
Because we've been looking into so we might as well announce what we're going to do for Christmas. So we got off topic, but we do apologize. We've sort of delved into TCG, but you know, we've got some cool stuff happening. So essentially, you know, for those who don't know, Pokemon do a Christmas calendar. I bought it last year. You get like 7 or 8 boosters, and then some singles, and then like a keyring, and then some other stuff. The boosters aren't great. Like the one last year, I think it had a Silver Tempest, Fusion Strikes, and one Evolving Skies, and then it had a sample pack in there as well, so obviously that's just shitty 3 cards, and then some other bits. So
sample and pack. Then
they did another one this year, and I spoke about it was Lee, but then we looked at the cards that were inside the packs. Was like, the shit. So I had this idea. I was like, do you want to make each other an advent calendar, but an actual good one? And so we've decided, I've actually got most of Lee's here, to make each other a Pokemon booster pack advent calendar, one for each day, with like a set budget. And there aren't any shit packs in there. I made sure I did not get you any of the crap sets. None of that Paldea Evolved shit. I got you good Pokemon cards.
Damn, so, I got loads of battle styles for you, mate.
Damn. So yeah, no,
like, in battle styles.
So we're gonna make some content out of it. We're not quite sure how we want to do it yet, but probably like a short every day, maybe like a compilation at the end of it. We'll whip it up on the channel. But we just thought it would be like a fun way, and like, it was really fun trying to work out what ones, I'm not going to spoil it, but what packs and sets I wanted to get from. And we didn't set like a, my point which segued into this is we didn't just say just to English, because we've been looking a lot at, like, we spoke about the Japanese cards a second ago, but like the Korean and Japanese booster boxes are like a lot cheaper. And if you don't, like, if you want to collect the cards, like you like the artwork and stuff, like you can pick up a booster box for like 60 quid. And like Korean particularly, some Chinese stuff is actually quite expensive, but Korean seems to be the one where you can get up. It's not the same booster box. It's like the oblong ones.
Yeah.
They're not like the same shape, but you still get like 30 packs in them. But like, if you don't really care about the language and you just want the artwork, like, rather than shelling out, what is it, like £100 minimum now for like a booster box nowadays, you just...
The only thing I found out about the Korean booster boxes is you aren't guaranteed a secret rare in every single booster box. Like, you are. Nah. So you're not guaranteed one, which is...
You're guaranteed at least one type of card, though, aren't you? One rare card.
I'm not too sure, but you know, like Japanese, you always guaranteed one secret rare per box. For the Korean, you aren't.
Oh, okay. But the one thing, like talking about the 151, like the Master Ball holos are also on the Korean ones, which they obviously didn't do them on the English one. So if you wanted Master Ball holos, you didn't want to pay for a bloody Japanese booster box. So they're like 140 quid at the moment for 151. Get a Korean one for like, again, 60 quid at the moment. And just can't get some of the holos from there unless you want to pick them up separately. But, you know.
And I think because it'll be like a more premium, like, holiday set, the Shiny Treasures set coming out, they'll have less packs in them than regular Japanese.
There's also less cards in the Japanese sets half the time because.
Yeah, is it like 5 or 6 cards per pack, I think?
Well, there's less cards in the pack, but also. They tend to, I don't know what they do with holiday sets, whether they just have them all in one, but at least with like a full set, they normally release 2 separate sets, and the English set will be both basically, or even 3, you know?
Yeah.
For Paradox Rift, they did 2 different versions, I found out when I was looking for these packs. Future something and then Ancient something. So they split them in 2, basically, just like the Pokemon games. But so there's a lot less cards in the set. So you can kind of argue that having 5 cards in the pack kind of makes sense. But then I guess, like I said, for the holiday sets, it doesn't works out a bit differently because they tend to be a bit smaller sometimes anyway. So
yeah, but you get the chance of a God pack as well, which you do over here now, I guess. But I think the odds are a lot better in Japan. God packs, getting one.
They're not just, I thought they were just limited to 151, or do they happen in every set, every Japanese set?
No, all of the higher, like, holiday sets in Japan, they've always had, like, god packs that you can get in them. Yeah, so they're always a thing. But I think, I think it's just the holiday sets that they've done it for in the West, so. Yeah. Because they did it for Crown Zenith, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, okay.
They did it for Crown Zenith as well? I'm not sure. I might. Correct me on that if I'm wrong, but
that was a good set, to be fair. Crown Zenith, I quite like that.
That was a better set than 151, in my opinion.
Yeah, it has some really nice cards in there. So, and I have actually got 2 ETBs of that as well.
Very nice.
So, yeah,
very nice.
I'm running out of space in my room to store stuff.
Yeah, that's the problem with these things.
Need to get some shelves, more shelves and stuff.
Helping,
but yeah, that's it. Really,
so the advent calendar thing will be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it, it's going to be good. So, yeah, stay tuned for that. It'll be very good. But yeah, we've totally dived in TCG to start us off this week, haven't we? But there's
makes a change. Why not?
Yeah, talk on that for a little bit. It's but there has been other goings on. As we record this Thursday night, the Typhlosion 7-star raid will be back in Scarlet and Violet this week, as of tonight. So as of the pod going up tomorrow on Friday, when it goes up, the raid will be back for this weekend. It'll be its second time out in Scarlet and Violet, and the last time you're going to have the chance to get it with the Mightiest Mark before it finishes on Sunday evening. So that is running. If you want to check out some builds, check out my channel. Just a shameless plug for those. So yeah, enjoy that while it's running. Good for farming items, of course, and getting prepared for the Indigo Disc, which is coming out very, very soon.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Do we want to quickly touch on... My Chrome keeps freezing, and it's really putting me off. So every time I'll open all the links up, and then it will freeze, I'll have to close it down again.
What are we talking about? The Raging Bolt?
It's just... My Chrome is just having a poo. I was going to talk about... did you want to talk about that first, or do you want to talk about the Switch stuff?
No, talk about the Switch stuff. We'll come back to the Scarlet and Violet, because I think we talked about this last week, about the patent that was filed by Nintendo for potential Switch 2, which was theorized, but there's been a bit of an update on that from last week. We've had Nintendo Everything have put out an article in regards to this with an interview from, is it the president of Nintendo?
Nintendo president Shunetaro Furukawa has weighed in on the recent rumors surrounding the Switch successor, stating that they are not accurate. He briefly commented on the situation during a financial call. He didn't have much to say about the new system, which isn't surprising, but he did say the rumors online that appear to be public information are not accurate, which are probably, you know, referencing the patent.
I think he goes on to mention the patent further down in the article, so directly.
Oh yeah. Furukawa also commented on a recent pattern that has been making waves online. There's been lots of talk surrounding a filing showing a handheld device that we split in two. However, Furukawa said, "We applied for a patent knowing the information would be made public. This does not necessarily mean we plan to equip future products with this." Which, you know, makes sense. You know, yeah. I don't think they were trolling us per se, but, you know, people file for patents all the time, especially with Nintendo. I guess they want to get ahead of any kind of ideas that they have, right? They don't want anyone stealing. You know, they're the god of coming up with, like, good ideas. So why would you wouldn't want people to, like, you know, stealing?
Yeah.
Stealing the patent or the idea, so...
Which has kind of killed any hope of a 3DS kind of Switch hybrid coming in the next console, at least for me anyway. So it doesn't look like that is going to be the case, but maybe somewhere down the line, and you never know, they might bring the handheld back as a side thing at some point. But
I really want them to bring back a handheld. Sorry, I know you're about to go say something. Briefly before the podcast, I spoke about setting up bank and stuff on my 3DS again, and having the DS out, the nostalgia that I felt for this console, it's just so compact, and it was just so good and sleek. Like, the latest 3DS that I have, I'm not going to get it out. I have it behind me, but I just love the design. It just works so well. I just love the size of it. Like, I love the Switch. I'm not going to go that far. It has its problems. But the 3DS was just such a good console. You could put it in your pocket. Like, the bulk of this... The Switch... And I'm being nitpicky here, and this is obviously a preference, but handhelds, I prefer to be smaller. You know, you could fold the 3DS up and put it in your pocket. You can't really do that with a Switch. And it's not more of a pain to pick up, obviously not, but you know, it feels that way compared to a 3DS. Is the point that I'm trying to make? So, you know.
Because it's a hybrid home console.
Because it's a hybrid... I don't want a hybrid home console. Bring...
You split do. Them.
Give me a 3DS again. I want a 3DS.
I just re-release it, really. As a I don't know what they can do. I know what you mean. I never carried my 3DS around in my pocket, so I can't relate to that. I always had it in a bag or something, so I never really had the issues. You know what I mean? But I have been playing a lot of my 3DS recently, which has been nice, and playing a lot of Ultra Sun, which has been really fun.
Out of all the games, you chose Ultra Sun.
I know, and I've had to say this on stream. I have to have eaten my words a little bit with all the stick I've given Ultra Sun, because it does have some really cool features in it. as a game, and I just think I was probably maybe jumped the gun a little bit. I really blame the fact that it's just a copy and paste for the most part of Sun, you know, Sun and Moon, which is the big problem. Yeah, so I think, you know, there wasn't really any difference until the post game. Post game features are great in it, but I was maybe a little bit harsh with it. But yeah, so I do agree with you with the 3DS being brilliant. I don't know when we're gonna get some sort of news on the Switch, the next successor, because you
it's
know
hard to predict,
it makes.
Right? I don't think
it makes you think. In that article as well, they talk about the Matrix or something like that, some game that they previewed in the summer, and it was behind the scenes with developers where they showcased it at I can't remember where it was. It was an expo event, but he's kind of poo-pooed that as well. So it's like, are you poo-pooing that because you want to kind of quell the FOMO around it, or is that actually the case and it's just all been lies? It's all a big web of lies. But the thing is, we talked about last week, that I cannot get away from, is the fact that we're seeing increased numbers of Switch consoles having their prices slashed, like those are wanting to get rid of them. I think that's a huge indicator over everything else.
They've also announced a Smash bundle recently.
Have they?
With a 3-month Nintendo Online subscription as well as the game and the console.
They're wanting rid of those things.
Definitely dumping stock, bro.
Yeah.
Which really does make you believe, like...
I think that's more of an indicator than anything, isn't it?
I do have my doubts. I was thinking about it today, actually, will it actually come next year? But I think things like that, be like, well, they're hard dumping stock, obviously, so with no way, I think it has to come next year. But
yeah.
I don't think we'll get an announcement until April.
That's funny, if we do get an announcement in April, you know, I wonder if there's, like, does that put into question, you know, if we get a new Pokemon game next year, is it going to be on the original Switch?
I think,
because they wouldn't be able to really showcase much, unless it's one of those where it's like, it was built for the new console, but it can still run on the Switch, but it runs much better. But there isn't really, it's not taking full advantage of the new features of the new console. So it's not going to look as good. A bit of like a Twilight Princess sort of thing between the Wii and the Wii U when that came out a few years ago. It was like, could have been so much better if it was just dedicated for the new system, you know?
Yeah, I hope that's not the case. Because I also did think that, and I think some people, I saw a rumor on Twitter basically suggesting that would basically happen, that we wouldn't get a new Pokemon game on the next gen console until Gen 10. I think they're missing, you know, there is, in all fairness to them, you know, given, you know, their stupid development times, I could see them. They have got justification for having not developed it, because the games could already have been developed. So, and they might not have decided to do a Switch console until relatively last minute, but I mean, Switch successor, sorry. Because it felt like they were kind of pushed into it a bit, but I also don't believe that. Like, I feel like they've known for a while that the Switch has needed an upgrade, and although I do feel like things like the Steam Deck and the ROG Ally have pushed them towards speeding that process up, I do think that, you know, it's been 8 years almost since the Switch come out. So I feel like they do need to pull their fingers out their arses if they actually do want, because they started to drop sales, right? If they actually want to keep the people in the market, because I don't really want enough of, like, realistically, I don't care how the game, for me, you know, I appreciate it a lot more with Scarlet and Violet, but Pokemon games have always been a means to play the game competitively. So I've never really cared about how they run, what they look like, what the story's like. Scarlet and Violet was very different because I actually really enjoyed Scarlet and Violet playing that. It's the first Pokemon game I've enjoyed playing in a while. And it did have its problems as well. So again, first time I was kind of frustrated with the you know, it wasn't as much as other people, but, you know, it was annoying. So for me, I just don't know whether, if they do release a new Pokemon game, will it, you know, if it's not on the new console, will that put a lot of people off? But then your argument, I guess it still kind of works, because if the Switch successor will be backwards compatible, which it highly looks like it will be, just like the 3DS will be, with like it was with DS games, could they develop it for the Switch, but then you can obviously still play it on the new console? And like you just said, it just won't take advantage of all the new stuff, but I feel like they're just missing a trick.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're not going to know, and we will never know until we actually find out what's happening next year. Because Nintendo could easily do either. They could go down either way. It's just like, I don't want another shitty game released on that console or made for that console. I'm done with the Switch now. I'm not buying any more Switch games. Like
until we get the next games next year. Like,
it just feels so dated at this point, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just like, fuck off.
I think realistically, like, looking at it, like, taking everything into consideration that we're talking about, I think the most likely scenario of what's going to happen next year is we're going to get a faithful remake of Black and White from someone like Ilka, and then we are going to get a Legends game, and it will either be in Johto or it will either be in Unova. And I think that's the most likely thing that we're going to see, which will then, I guess, tide us over until Gen 10 rolls around, which I hope isn't the year after. I hope it's given a lot longer development time, but it might be the year after that. Who knows? Because that would take it to a 3-year life cycle, wouldn't it? In that November 2025. So, yeah. November 2024, you get the Black and White remake, and then you get Legends Arceus after that in the new year, and then 2025, because 2022 was when Scarlet and Violet came out, wasn't it? Was it? Yeah,
because they could do.
It's been out a year now.
They could do DLC for Legends.
It would be 2025. The thing is, I think the 2026 is the 30th anniversary, isn't it? Yes. Yeah. So that's the big one. That's one I'm like, just hold it off a year. Hold it off a year and give us Gen 10 in on the 30th anniversary.
Give us an amazing Pokemon game.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's whether or not Nintendo will be like, because I think that's where the crux of it all comes from. It's not Game Freak. I think it's Nintendo saying, you need to get this out on this by this time in this year. We need a Pokemon game.
I just want money.
Yeah. And also the Pokemon Company, like we've already talked about a gazillion times, like the games are the thing that keeps the cog running for everything else, right? It keeps the anime, everything running. So it is a bit of a...
Because the games are ahead of the anime, right? So it has to... The main series games will always exist because for that reason. So it's just how much effort do they want to put in? And... I just don't know at this point. Like, I just don't feel confident saying that they are going to get that. I will be less excited to buy a new console if, you know, the new whatever games, Pokemon games we get next year, if they aren't made for it. Like, I haven't got a reason to buy it. I probably won't buy it unless they do something cool, like do like Nintendo Sports or whatever on the new console and give it away for free or something like that, but they won't do that. I don't know. This is another annoying thing, like the DLC, like it was before Scarlet and Violet. We have no idea what's going to happen because I don't think they do. You know, as with the DLC, I don't think they knew when they actually wanted to release the DLC, the second part. I think they were just like, let's see if there's any problems with the Indigo Disc, the Teal Mask, and then we'll decide on a day later. And there's nothing necessarily inherently wrong with that. But it's just annoying because you don't know what's going on up there, and I want to know what's happening.
Yeah, well, I mean, we know firsthand that they didn't have a date
Oh
pegged in.
yeah, we do,
We
yeah.
can't go into detail about that, but I think that says a lot about scheduling and stuff like that. So less we talk about that, the better, though, I think. But yeah, it's frustrating, but again, we know we're probably gonna get something exciting and we'll forget about all of this on Pokemon Day in February. In between then and now as well, we got the Indigo disc due out in like 5 weeks' time, which is, well,
That will be here quickly. I think it will creep up on us.
four and a bit weeks, which is
Was it the
absolutely mad.
14th?
14th.
1, 2, 3, 4.
I was saying on stream the other
It's
day, I was like,
5 weeks today.
never looked forward to something Pokemon game related as much as I am looking forward to Indigo Disc. And
I
it's
hope it
because
delivers. I hope it delivers.
I think it will. And even like, I don't think it can't, like, personally for me, because we've had this huge story arc kind of run from the start of the game all the way through. And we've had it in the Teal Mask, the side kind of side story to it. And we know it's gonna finish in the Indigo Disc. And I just hope it's a good ending. Really hope it's a
Find
good
out.
ending.
Find out. It's gonna be interesting. Gonna be a busy December for you with Christmas as well. So you're gonna have some sleepless nights. So you might as well make the most of the peace and
Yeah.
quiet you have at the moment.
This is true. This is true. Yeah.
But we did
But lots of
have.
VG stuff coming up at the minute as well, so I don't know how much of a break I'm gonna get really over the next few
Yeah,
weeks,
it's
so.
true. I mean, I'm not touching on Gdansk quickly. I'm not excited for Gdansk. I'm excited to see people. As with every Pokemon event, this format, I feel like I've been saying it for a while, but I don't know. This format doesn't really excite me. I don't really like the Paradox Pokemon. I think there's too much of a power creep. I don't know. I feel like I say this every year, but it just doesn't seem very exciting. Like, Ogepon seemed really cool, and then everyone's like, oh, wait, no, Ogepon's not good anymore. Inherently,
Banished.
the biggest problem with Ogepon is that if you don't terrestrialize it basically doesn't have an ability. Like, I guess Mold Break is kind of nice on the half lane one, but realistically, to get its potential, and the reason it's so good is because of its terrestrialized form, because of an embody aspect, and the same with with all of them. And so it
But
feels
you have to
like
commit to terrestrializing
you're
that every match.
wasting, you're like wasting a Terra slot then, like guaranteed. Okay, I want to use that. So Ogepon's dropped off, so it's kind of just gone back. Like, the format almost hasn't really changed. Like, the longer the format's gone on, we saw some creative stuff at the beginning in Peoria and Toronto and other bits, but I feel like at this stage, we've got it until December, so we've got Gdansk, and then we've got Dortmund 2 weeks after, and then I don't know if we've got another one in America after that. We've got LAIC in between there.
LAIC's next weekend.
Yeah, so
Yeah,
interesting to see
next
how that
weekend.
develops, but the
It's almost
like
went back to Regulation D, really,
that
hasn't it?
that's what I'm saying. It's not really exciting.
Yeah,
Man, I
so.
saw something horrible the other day. You know how we're talking about JS Cup? Imagine fucking Xerneas next to a Flamain.
Oh,
I don't
my
want to see
God.
it. I don't want to see it.
Oh, man, it's
I
gonna
don't
happen.
like Flamain. It's a stupid Pokemon. It shouldn't exist. It's
Yeah, but
too.
you're gonna
It's
have
not
Zacian.
balanced.
Like, you gotta
If
think
they.
Zacian's gonna
That's
be in the format,
true.
right?
That's true. If they bring back
Right.
Zacian, it'd be good. I actually really like Zacian. I didn't really when I started playing, but once I played with it for a while, it's a really fun one and quite balanced as well, I think.
I think the other combinations you need to think about is the combinations with Coridon and Maridon, because they bring the sun and the electric terrain to the field, and every other Paradox Pokemon has either Photosynthesis or Corviknight
I
to
did not
take
know that.
advantage
That makes a
straight
lot
off
of
the
sense,
bat
actually.
from them, and they've got some
Iron Hand
strong.
is going to be so dumb when you can actually set up fucking electric terrain without actually setting up.
And you've got a perfect Amoongus check, so it can't put anything to sleep, so you don't need the safety goggles anymore. So I think those two are going to be really impactful. And then you've got
True.
Terrapagos to think of. We don't really know too much about. We got the 19th Terra type, which is really exciting. Like, how's that going to really work? We don't know the mechanics completely behind that until the game really drops. And then you've got, close your ears if you don't want spoilers, but Donkataru as well, which is the third legendary, which we have really no idea whether that's like how that's going to be, what it is, or any real confirmation on that yet. So
we had some bits confirmed. Oh, this has been so annoying. We had
It's from the Japanese websites. It's been up since these got revealed, which was the
Raging Bolt and Iron Crown. It looks like they're event exclusive Pokemon, so we don't have to worry about them. Similar to you know, I guess we kind of saw it coming with Walking Wake and
Iron Leaves.
So you know, which is good, I guess. Which we'll probably get a Terra Raid for them, similar to the other two. So
yeah, I think it'll be exactly the same.
But
it's
the Terrakion form does really intrigue me. And then also we have Entei as well.
Yeah.
And you know, this is the Raikou one, is it? So we just wait. It's just interesting.
I think if they're doing these as event only, I think they'll do them all as events. I think they'll all appear in Terra Raids, which is, it kind of sucks because it means that they're shiny locked. It means that a lot of people are going to miss out on them. I just think, why not just put them in the game? You know,
there was an interesting article actually that I did send you briefly. Sorry, I'm interrupting. About, I mean, we've touched on this before, but some VGC player basically spoke to some.
Spoke to
a news website basically saying that like 90% of the competitive players gen or hack their Pokemon, and now we discussed about this. We've discussed our opinions on it a lot of the time. But I just sort of found it really interesting because they spoke about it. I mean, I guess if you're not in the scene, you don't really know, but they were speaking about it as if it was some kind of revelation. But it's kind of like, it's kind of the equivalent of like in bodybuilding, everyone uses steroids, but no one sort of talks about it.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like with in competitive Pokemon, like it doesn't give you a competitive edge. So everyone does it because it just saves time. And they still haven't made stuff accessible.
I would step in and disagree with you to a certain extent on that, because I do think it doesn't give you a competitive edge with the Pokemon, but the time that you save from not having to spend the time in the game actually creating the team could be spent practicing, which everyone that does use PKHX outside sources to hack in their Pokemon have all of that extra time. Like, it can be up to like how long does it take to do team from scratch, right? It could take you maybe a day to do, right? It could take like between anywhere from 8 to 15 to 17 hours, depending on how difficult some of the Pokemon are. And those players that have just typed in on a keyboard to get those Pokemon have got 17 plus hours additional practice on those players that have actually taken the time to do it in game themselves. So there is that respect, and I'll always stand by that argument and say yes, that is something that players who do it fully legit are at a disadvantage in that regard, because
it is a pain.
The thing
I would say is I feel like but it doesn't really change the point. I do feel like a lot of people, when they go to make their team, they are happy with the team at that point. I do argue that doesn't take away from the fact that you're losing time to practice. But I feel like when you're at that stage now, especially with Showdown being best of three, obviously it wasn't like that in the past, but I feel like most people, once they go to build the team, they know what they want, so they should be happy with it. But I do get what you're saying. I've been making all my Pokemon because...
On that point, though, mate, they should be happy with their team, but at that point, one of them is going to take 10 minutes to make their team.
The other point is
you're going to need that additional time to actually go and take it. Whereas 10 minutes, I've made it in my game, I can continue practicing with the team. Oh, I've had like 30 more battles with it and I want to change something. Whereas player who's grinding still in his game hasn't had the chance to have that additional time practicing with his team to discover that issue that there is, and then goes into the tournament and finds out on the day in the tournament that, oh, I wish I'd had some more time to actually test this. Whereas player A, who is quite happily just typing away and injecting Pokemon legally into their game, doesn't have that issue. So in that respect, there is an argument.
Like you're right, but I feel like that probably affects the middle section of competitive players. So the ones, I feel like that doesn't really affect the top players, because I feel like the top players are that example of they know their shit. They just, it doesn't matter if, like, from their perspective, if it was only top players, that saving time, I don't think it matters to them. But I feel like the middle section where most of the competitive players are, so you got the new players, then you got the middle section, then you got the people that are really good. That's the people that it affects the most. Because those are the
I think
people...
it affects everyone exactly the same. I don't think it matters if you're... But that's like my opinion on it.
Yeah,
I don't
that's
think
fair.
Like time's time at the end of the day, you know?
We can both agree that they need to make it more accessible because I would much prefer to make it in-game, which I do.
Yeah.
The only thing, like the most frustrating thing, because they do make it easier, particularly in this gen, is the TM machine.
Yeah.
It's awful.
It's hard for me to comment on this because there's a part of me that wants to completely 100% agree with you on that, where they do need to make it better. But then I just think if you want to play the game competitively, like make the time to do it legit
in game.
But
like,
don't put excuses about and cry about it being a grind. When it is a grind, it is annoying, but that is just how it is. So just get on with it and do it legit. Don't like skip around the curb to try and do it.
I think the
quickly.
Biggest problem is, right, is that it feels like because we have these battle simulators, if we didn't if they didn't exist and the only way was to practice Pokemon was to play in game, wouldn't be a problem. But I feel like it's because most people know what they want to use before they build it. You have this frustration of like, this is annoying. I just want it done now. You know, because you know you've been able to, you know, because Showdown allows you to just tinker with whatever, like just down to like the minute details, whatever you want.
Yeah.
The thing I will say, and because like, you know, I do agree with like some of the points you're saying, but like some of the Pokemon stuff is really frustrating. Like especially if you haven't played
other older games. I 100% agree with
you. That is something that, if they don't change anything else, they need to make... If they're going to allow a Pokemon in a format, they need to make that Pokemon easily accessible in that game. It shouldn't be like a Pokemon that existed from an old game. Because I went back to Sword and Shield, right? Because I was like, oh, I needed a Landorus, or Thunderous, sorry, for my last event. I had to borrow one from a friend in the end. Because, like, no one has one. And so I was like, oh, you can catch them in the Dynamax Adventures. Went in there. Because I only had Shield, I didn't have the genie that I wanted. And I wasn't going to go buy a copy of Sword just to go get the genie, plus the DLC just to go get the genie and complete it all.
Yeah.
It's like a pain in the ass. And they will probably add a way. I feel like they have to add a way in the Indigo Disc to get the legendary Pokemon. It would be fucking stupid if they don't, because they're probably going to do GS Cup at some point, so that makes sense.
It's the same with the Hisui Pokemon, and I do agree with you in that. I think if you're going to allow these Pokemon in a competitive environment, like the whole reason like Play Pokemon have stood by that mythicals will never be included in GS Cup is because they're not readily available to all players, so it's not fair.
Is that why?
Because not all players have been around for past events. Not all players.
Why did they allow Darkrai in the past?
They've never allowed Darkrai. Mythicals have never been allowed and never will be allowed because of that reason.
We were just allowed it because Darkrai was in the game. We could copy Dark Void, I remember now. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was really confused.
So that's why Mythicals will never be in. But I feel like that whole argument falls on its face a little bit when you've got Pokemon Legends Arceus as well, where like it is a game readily available, but there is that barrier where you have to afford the game.
Enamorous is just... Namorous is a joke of a Pokemon to get. So, you know, it's just.
Especially if you want it in a Trick Room.
Yes, yes. You've summed it up perfectly, I think.
Yeah.
And it's just fun that combination. They could fix a problem, we told this. Just make an in-game battle tower, you know? That will solve every problem. No one would ever gen or hack again. Just make it so that Pokemon is only allowed... In official, you can't use it in game. It's only allowed in tournaments. It's a tournament. It's a tournament team. Solves
just
every problem.
The battle simulator.
Yeah.
Spin-off. They just need Battle Revolution for every generation, and that's what you use. That's got your online battle ladder on. That's where you can make your rental teams. That's where you can do all your showdown stuff. Officially, but you can't take them into an actual game to use. You just use them like you say. Or tournament use. I think that would be a great way to do it. But we do have that PK Hex. I hate that they're calling it a PK Hex feature. I just feel like It's the only reference that people got. So there's going to be a new facility in the Indigo Disc, and it's going to be, they're calling it or referring to it as the PK Hex feature, because it's going to be a way for us to potentially change something on a Pokemon. It'll probably be IVs, and probably more than likely we're going to be able to reduce an IV from whatever it is to zero, which is going to mean that you're going to be able to...
It's only useful for Trick Room, isn't it? That,
yeah. It's great for, like, you know, it means shiny Pokemon that you've caught or shiny legendaries that you caught, you can actually play around with them, tinker them. They're not going to sit in a box and just be useless, you know, like before Hyper Training came around. So I think it's a step forward. It's a step forward, but we'll have to wait and see for the games to be released to see how and what it does, that new facility. But I just really hope that they don't, like, overprice the facility in the game and make it ridiculously grindy to be able to use it. You remember in Sword and Shield with the Armorite ore, where you had to collect that to get the new item, the ability patch in the Crown Tundra, where you could change hidden abilities.
Mm-hmm.
And that was way overpriced. And it just made it... It was so overpriced in the game, it made it nearly impossible for you to actually facilitate, like, use it, like, properly. It's just annoying. So I hope they don't do that, and I hope they make it really accessible, really easily available. Like, Fresh Start Mochis is a good item, and it's not that difficult to get a hold of.
So, good idea. That was a good idea.
It's along those lines, I think it would be good, but... yeah, mate. We could do a whole podcast on the hacking and genning and the whole argument there.
Yeah, so no, let's move
maybe
on.
Maybe that's something for the future. Yeah. But
there was this interesting thing.
I'm not disagreeing with you before we finish up on that. I'm not disagreeing with you at all, because I do think there needs to be measures in place. But I do have some points that I do stand by, and I don't want to come across too rough on that.
No,
but
no, that's fine. Just that,
I just think from someone that's like, I just feel like from, you know,
you're allowed to look
since what, right, 2010, from Heart Gold, Soul Silver, and I used to use RNG Manip back then to get my eggs with 31 IV Pokemon, you know, and
let's not talk about 118 jokes, shall we?
Yeah. Someone could look at like that generation, like that technique, and be like, okay, that is cheating. RNG manipulation's cheating, but wasn't using any external devices to do that. So it's real, like, everything's legit in game. But then I guess, like, how far can you take that to be like, well, yeah, just PKX, everything's the same if I just inject it? But it's like kind of hard to argue the point. It's hard. Anyway, we'll leave it there. We'll come back to it another time.
So before we get on to my cheeky little goodie bag, because I've got loads of old stuff that I just forgot that I had, there was an interesting post from Joe Merrick, which we've touched on, just with all the current numbers for every single Pokemon game. And there's a couple of shockers in there, to be honest. I had no idea that Red, Green, and Blue and Yellow sold this many units, or was the most sold game. Sword and Shield second. I mean... And then Gold, Silver. It's gone right down at fourth. It could easily be third. It's not that far off third, to be honest. And there we get down to Diamond and Pearl, XY, Sun and Moon, Ruby, Sapphire, Black and White. Let's go Pikachu, Eevee. Brilliant Diamond. Legends Arceus. A lot of people disagreed with this, but again, they're not far off at Legends Arceus. And
thing is with the Legends Arceus is, right, all of those other titles, I guess Pokemon Yellow isn't, right, but all of the other ones in that list have got two copies.
Well, Yellow two is copies. Essentially Red, Blue, Green, White.
Yeah, so that one kind of in with that as well, I guess. But, like, Legends Arceus only is a one title. If you kind of use the math there, you would say, okay, well, it's probably going to be on par.
Emerald and Crystal are not bad, right? Like, if you compare it to those games, it's sold like double the amount, right?
Mm-hmm.
These were all the other games that were released as their own.
Wow, Platinum. Can't believe Platinum didn't sell. But that's Emerald
a great
as well.
Game, right? And Diamond and Pearl's up there.
Yeah.
Essentially, that should be included, right? you know, realistically, if you bundled them all together. But like
a crystal as well.
Crystal was the worst one.
Wow.
But again, that's just the that's like the gold. It's just the platinum of gold and silver.
Yeah.
An emerald
Brick
again.
As well.
It's the same of that's just the same thing. So
that's mad. Ultra Sun and Moon surprises me that it's
above black
there,
and white
really.
Too.
Yeah.
I think that's just more
crazy.
People. Yeah. Fuck. Yeah. I don't know. I still don't think it's a great game, but still.
Maybe. Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire surprises me as well, and Hot Gold Soul Silver.
What, too low?
Too low. Yeah. You know, with how especially Hot Gold Soul Silver, you speak to so many people, and they're like, "Yeah, Hot Gold Soul Silver."
Pokewalker as well. I remember reading about that in a magazine. That's how long ago it was. I'm being so gassed. I rang my friend up. I was in an airport. I was about to go on holiday and I had to ring my friend up from the airport because I was like, oh my God, they're doing another Pokewalker game. It's going to be so good. And the Pokewalker was lit as well. So yeah.
Yeah, it was very cool. Yeah. I wonder what if that's the reason why, you know, the prices of like Black and White 2 carts and stuff like that are just like redonkulously expensive, and Emerald as well, because the number of units actually sold wasn't that many. They may have not produced as many as some of the other titles. Crazy though. Pull that list back up one more time though. Because you're going to say Scarlet and Violet is probably going to overtake
Gold and Silver.
I would say probably Sword and Shield. I don't think it'll go past Red and Blue now, but
I think it'll sell another 3 million units.
Yeah, I do. I think you've got Christmas coming up, and I think you're gonna have the Indigo Disc dropping, and I think that it's gonna really reinvigorate Scarlet and Violet again. I really like 3 million units on the whole is probably not that much. I think it probably will. That many.
What is the revenue on that? So it's just say 26 million times by £60. Yeah, it's a lot of money.
It's
a lot of money. Yeah, that works out 1.5 billion pounds.
They make coin on these games.
They do make coin. I was like, that doesn't seem like a lot. I was wrong.
Bro, give me 23 million sales on a $60 item any day of the week. I will take it. I will retire. I will be doing this podcast.
No way.
There's
no way they spent £1.5 billion on something shoot.
The developers must be like, and you can't.
Excuse
you
me.
Can't
you paid us
hire
how much?
Me an assistant.
You paid us how much? It is insane. Yeah. So. Yeah. It's stupid. We at least feel that it's silly the way they do their structuring, but you know, we can't.
They are swimming in cash.
Swimming in cash, but.
They are, man. You think about that's one little facet of the whole franchise. I'd love to know the revenue sales of like TCG as well, and then kind of work out what their kind of rough revenue share would be. I'm sure it's accessible. I'm sure you could go on. It's not a private company, is it?
No, it's a publicly trading company, so we should be able to.
Should be able to see how much it goes through in a year. It's going to be a disgusting amount. But yes, the sales of Scarlet and Violet are really, really positive, I think. I think Sword and Shield's sales are really surprising as well when you see them like that. I think, yeah, and I think Scarlet and Violet are a much better game than. And Sword and Shield, in my opinion. A lot stronger in every single area. Storyline, characters, post-game. I think DLCs. I think the Teal Mask beats the pants off the Indigo Disc. Off the Isle of Armor. And I think Indigo Disc is just going to blow everything that we saw in Sword and Shield out of the water. I hope I'm not wrong.
We'll see.
I hope it's everything that everyone wants it to be.
I don't want it. It makes me feel ill thinking that far ahead because I know I've just got no faith at this point. I know I'm really pessimistic, but it's just like, we just got to wait and see. Thinking about it over and over again, it's just going to get me bummed for when, you know, my expectations are going to be so high that whatever they end up doing, I'm going to be bummed out with. So I'm kind of like, let's just see what happens. Yeah.
What were the sales of Black and White on there? just black and white, because I know black and white 2 were low down. But I would be interested to know what the black and white sales were going to be, because
black and white was in the middle, 15 mil.
It's the middle of the pack.
15 and a half mil.
Kind of interesting. Yeah, I mean, they've done the remakes of Ruby Sapphire, so yeah. And then they did Brilliant Diamond, Shen and Pearl, which didn't sell badly, actually, really looking at it, you know, comparing it to Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire and Heart Gold Soul Silver, it's a success in regards to a remake. Is that the highest ranking remake that we've got on that chart?
At the moment, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, really?
Only just
best. It's the best remake out of all of them.
Let's not get into this conversation, shall we?
Here we go.
So yeah, I just thought it was interesting looking at the actual numbers.
Facts of facts.
Facts of facts, baby.
Damage and Pearl are the best.
But
I guarantee you, Ilka are going to make this Unova game, this black and white game.
I don't want to think about it. I need to play Legends Arceus and maybe I'll get more excited, because I haven't fucking played it. I played like 10 minutes of it. I paid the full price for it and I only played 10 minutes stupidly. But anyway, that's a conversation for another day. But
brilliant game.
I know it probably is a good game. But yeah, I think we've covered most of the stuff this week. We had a big Pokemon topic. I found some, I don't know if this is real. Touch on Scott Scooty Bag quickly. Found an image. Tell me what it reminds you of. Some mountains.
Iron Hands. I've seen it before.
Yeah.
It's cool, isn't it?
Is it weird? Is that real?
I don't know if it's real. I feel like it could be real, though. Yeah. Just the light, isn't it?
Trippy. And then this person made... They had a
toad. I saw this as well, yeah.
Toad on the Pikachu.
Yeah, it's very
actually,
cool.
The Pikachu itself is actually really cute.
Yeah.
Screaming. So, yeah. I just thought... Funny. It's like, this is really cute. So.
Yeah. They're cool. Yeah.
That's this very week good. Summed up, to be honest. Not much more to say.
Jumping on a trampoline.
Jumping on a trampoline. Anything you want to say before we wrap up this part? Oh, you listen on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. We love you. If you made it this far, we love you so much. Please leave us a review if you're new. Leave us a comment on YouTube. And if you're on Spotify or Apple iTunes or whatever it is, please leave us a review. It really helps us out. You know, we love you all, each one of you. Yeah, to new things. Hopefully we'll get a trailer for the Indigo Disc soon. We can talk about that. That'll be fun. And then, yeah. Anything else you want
to
say?
And if you'd like to hear a heated debate between me and Scott... on
don't talk about football
using gen Pokemon, and not using gen Pokemon and all the pros and cons and everything that goes along with that debate sometime in the future, let us know down below, because I think one of us sits on one side of the fence and one of us sits on the other, but we'll be friendly while doing it and we can both definitely see the other's point of view. But it might make for a nice little side episode at some point when things are a little bit quieter, so we could put it in the bank for when Indigo Disc settles down before we get Pokemon Day, between like the mid January to the mid February time. So that might be something to think about for the future. If you'd like to hear the episode, do let us know in the comments. Of course, that would be on YouTube. If you're listening on Spotify or iTunes or anything, hop over to our YouTube channel, drop us a subscribe while you are there, and make sure to drop a like on the video, because we really do appreciate it, and anything that can help out the engagement for the videos, as you know. It does really help and we appreciate it so much. But for things to leave off with, no, hopefully we get a trailer soon. Saying it every week, I'm going to continue saying it until we do get a trailer for the Indigo Disc. Hopefully we get something next week and we'll be able to talk about that and some maybe new sneak peeks at what's to come on the 14th of December. But other than that, mate, thank you to you, thank you to our listeners, and that is it from me.
Right, we'll see you guys next week in episode 31. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.